Good morning, and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good morning, Bob.
Before we get started, I just want to say, because I'm excited about it, is that the team has started to arrive in Africa.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Very
and, yeah, and we haven't really had a chance to tell anybody yet, but I'll let people on the call know that after the call, it'll be good to go to the Africa site where the blogs are just starting to be posted.
Mm, nice. Very fun.
All right. So our assignment from yesterday, consider the many kinds of goodbyes in our lives. Finish these sentences. Saying goodbye is, saying goodbye is, saying goodbye is, saying goodbye is. All right. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Debbie from Minnesota.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. So saying goodbye is, I don't know, I think saying goodbye is sometimes for the best, painful sometimes, part of growing up. That's kind of what spilled out in the moment.
So sometimes saying goodbye is for the best, that it's part of growing up. So there's a lesson in it of some sort, Debbie?
Well, it's like kind of I can either organize myself that it's, you know, it's all part of life giving me just what's right for me and kind of enjoying what there is to enjoy from it, or resenting it and getting angry about it or frustrated around it. So, given that I'm doing the assignment for, you know, a Sangha assignment, I kind of coach myself into, you know, yes, it's sometimes painful, and sometimes it's not, you know? And it's just kind of part of the deal. Like, I mean, there's always saying, like, there are goodbyes all the time.
Yeah.
Because nothing is forever. Like, it's just part of the way it is. So
yeah
I don't know, I can be frustrated with it, or, you know, the timing of some recent goodbyes that could have been painful was so perfect in other ways. Like, it came with all, I can't go into the details, it's not worth it, but it felt like it was all part of growing up and perfect timing in everything, in every way, seen in terms of my self-development.
It was exactly perfect for the person who is experiencing it.
Yeah.
In that way. Yeah. Well, and you know, so because one of the central teachings in Buddhism is that impermanence is what we have, like you say, that everything is changing all the time. And so every moment there's a new goodbye. There's a new hello and a new goodbye in just the way that you've described. And then it does seem that our choice is just like you've outlined it, that if we hand it over to conditioning, it might be difficult and painful and pointless, right? Or if we really look at it from this other perspective, even though there might be something that could be pointed to as you know, well, that wasn't so great. But when we really step back and go, well, other things actually along with that were just perfect, that it really aided and abetted the human being in receiving what there was to receive in life, to learn from it, to move along with life. Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, this last one was like, it was my father's, it was right at, before my father's death, there were two people that were like sort of surrogate moms to me who kind of dropped off out of my life at the same time just before the death. And there was this new home I was going into with my family and, like, you know, a lot of new work things coming. So all the things that kind of made me the grown-up, if you will, all at the same time, all the life trappings came with those goodbyes. And it's not to say, like, I mean, relationships are always changing, but they change significantly in that moment, and one became an actual goodbye. And, you know, just the timing of that was so well timed with everything. You know, everything shifted in that one moment, so that it did feel more like it was organized around me and my development.
Yeah.
Why did I don't know. So yeah. So and I do think like that myth of continuity is what we experience, like gravity, right? Like, I mean, it's just the way we default back to over and over again. But it's nice to have those teachings of impermanence to have that reality check that it's all, there's really groundless, it's all groundless. And that we can relax into that.
That's an interesting way to look at it, right? So groundless meaning if impermanence is essentially all about us all the time, there isn't anything that we can grasp onto. There's nothing real to hold onto, which is what ego is doing all the time, right? Looking to take something out of that stream or flow of life and, you know, change it into something that we know or something we can believe in or count on, right?
But that, go on.
Go ahead, Debbie. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that exercise of saying goodbye is saying goodbye is saying goodbye. I mean, I think there's also truth that, like, the narrative, like, I mean, we don't live in that reality of the groundlessness all the time. It's helpful at times to touch into that when goodbyes feel painful, but having, like, creating a new narrative that's a supportive one, since we do default to having a narrative and an experience, a felt sense of continuity about our lives, it seems to me a good thing to have a narrative that's supportive of the goodbye being for good for us, and that all is good and supportive for us.
Yeah, exactly. And so in the language of practice, that might sound like that we're not, if we're in a conversation in conditioned mind of any sort, right, we really aren't aware of that the impermanence, the change that's going on around us, and we're prone to seeing goodbyes as something negative in a lot of cases, right? Our conditioning is going to decide which goodbyes are good and which ones are bad, right? And so it is really helpful to have that reminder that none of that is real in any way, right? And that there isn't anything intrinsically good or bad about any goodbye.
Right, or anything. So
if we are
humans with a tendency for narrative, if that's the way our minds work and that's how we tend to experience life, then we might as well find a good way of experiencing the goodbye. You know, enjoying that, seeing the opportunity.
Seeing that narrative is false and moving to something that's actually true. Yeah, for sure.
Well, you know, to the extent that any narrative is quote-unquote true, it's just we have a tendency for narrative is what I'm going with, that we're going to fall into narrative at some point, regardless of the quote-unquote truth of the impermanence. So might as well make it a good one.
might as well make it
one that's supportive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the default position for the attention is to the story and conditioned mind if we're not paying attention. Right? Because if we're paying attention, then I think it is a little easier to see. My experience certainly is it's easier to see that the impermanence, when I'm present, then I'm present to that kind of change that's going on in each moment. It's fascinating to just be there and watch life unfolding without any need of any kind of narrative. And then I think you're exactly right that there is, again, there's that the default habit is for narrative, which, of course, can seem like that's just the way life is, right, that the mind just tends towards that. We just tend to live in that narrative, as you say, until we start practice and begin to see, that whole narrative has just been added on to what is. And it doesn't necessarily... it's not, as we always talk about, it's not necessarily helpful for us. Yeah.
You think even the narrative, so I guess you're saying something slightly different. So you're saying that even painting a narrative that is supportive is still, it's not direct experience. So in that sense, even that is conditioning, is what you're saying?
Well, that's a really good point. Is that your sense of it, Debbie? Is that your sense of it?
My sort of experience of it is that direct experience is a sometimes experience, and that, you know, where I, like, my sense of myself is, you know, kind of surround myself with things like Epictetus and Sangha and teachings, and try to keep supporting myself with narratives that
bring
a healthy mindedness around the situations and the good vibes where it might be emotionally tinged, rather than think that I could possibly actually always live in direct experience.
And so in that, then, there's just a linguistic switch that goes on, right? That so living in something like a practice support, all the practice supports, I typically...
Well, even writing to those prompts. Those prompts bring me to narrative.
Uh-huh. And when you say narrative, bring you to a story? Bring you to...
Yeah, a sense of continuity of myself. Of, you know, if I answer those prompts, you know, it gives me a sense of myself, which is story and continuity, and it's not really direct experience in the same way. It's a sense of my conditioning.
Exactly.
Or the conditioning that I experience. So, I mean, it is coaching me to have to notice where conditioning is not helpful, and to coach myself into, you know, give me four chances to coach myself into something, at least that's how I experience it, you know, to coach myself into a supportive way of understanding goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and would you say, Debbie, that as you do the exercises, that you become disidentified? In other words, you step back from that. You can see that conditioned sense of yourself and the continuity, but you're not actually it in that moment that you're seeing it, that you're stepped back from it, a completely different experience. But you can recognize it as being a narrative or a continuity of self, in quotes, right, that there it is, the separate self, but you're not being that in that moment?
Well, yes, because I recognize the way, you know, my particular habits of mind. Yes,
exactly.
In doing exercises, I see them.
Yeah. And so then I think we're talking about the same thing in that then. Yeah, so as you're disidentified in that place, then... It's a different experience than being in. Well, back to what you said, you're in a direct experience at that point. There is no what you're seeing is there, right? You're seeing whatever it is you're seeing, but there is no I having experience. And so, and then in that place, it drops in when you're disidentified like that. Then the information drops in. Oh yes, I can see the difference between the way conditioning would frame a goodbye and how life might frame a goodbye. Like you're saying, that it's, there's the...
Even if, to me, like, even as I'm saying this is how life would frame a goodbye, like, that itself is still an idea. That's, that, to me, is still coaching myself into supportive, conditioned thinking. That feels life-giving.
It can be, yeah. And that is exactly what conditioning wants to do.
It's like a positive lens through which to experience goodbye.
Yeah. And so in that place of being disidentified, an insight drops in that says, oh, I see, and there's no voice that comes with it, but there's an intuitive sensing that there's a different way to look at goodbyes than what conditioning has put out in front of me, right? And in that, I'm automatically changed in some way by that insight. And then what conditioning wants to do with it is grab it from there, take that insight, and move it into some kind of, a narrative, a story, a belief system that that again comes back to that place of taking us away from direct experience. So I don't think we're that far off in what we're talking about, Debbie, yeah.
No, I guess you're calling it insight from life, and I'm saying, and I'm questioning whether insight from life is just a positive conditioned thought about life. But it's just, it may be linguistics. I don't know.
Exactly. That's where I was going to go. That's a really good place to ask that question. Well, who is doing that? Who wants to know? Who is that kind of thing?
And I'm way over my time, but thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Debbie.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Debbie. And Chris, I just love that whole conversation because what it kept brought up for me is, and what's something that I love about practice is that there's no one who's going to tell me, you know, what is so. The practice always directs us to here and then checking it out from here and then being in these kind of conversations to for everyone, for me, the person asking, for the person facilitating, to explore it together.
Yeah, exactly. So that we're all essentially trying to make that that essential movement that we always talk about in practice, right, from being identified to disidentified, and in that place having the opportunity to see more clearly how we cause ourselves to suffer, right? And seeing how I'm always impressed with how no matter what insight is dropping in, how conditioning is looking to move it into knowing or believing or something that it can use against us just as quickly as possible to take us away from that direct experience and back into the conditioned world. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so if I'm always continually being brought to, being back to here, and then not really picking up where I left off when I was here before, but like, so what's actually here in the moment? What's so, what am I seeing right now? It seems like at the very least, it's in the moment, a disidentification tool where then I can start afresh. It's like, so what's actually so now? Because you know, I'm a new person. The world has changed since the last moment I was here. And it's just, it's a great kind of invitation to inquiry.
Yeah. Not to bring anything from the previous moment into the current moment. We can say goodbye to that moment, right, and greet the new moment with a completely clean slate. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Love that. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air, and will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa from North Carolina.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hey, Chris. So that was a great conversation, and I guess, let's see, what I saw in doing this was... Well, I guess for me, looking at the exercises, wow, I don't know that I've ever really thought about goodbyes, you know, and what I think.
Uh-huh.
And then what's interesting is like, wow, there's so much that I guess that I'm told that I do think about goodbyes. Like there is all this answer right there. You know, goodbyes are hard, they're sad, or they're a relief, or all these different things. And then really... Also seeing how, so there's an experience of a goodbye, and let's say it's sad. I feel sad. And
okay.
Then egocentric karmic conditioning says, well, that's not the experience to have. And so then it's just sort of,
you're doing goodbyes wrong.
Exactly. You're doing goodbyes wrong, or let's not, like one thing that I've actually noticed about me and goodbyes, like when I'm having to leave friends, like I had this pattern in college where I would just get in a big fight with my friends right before the end of the school year.
Ah, wow.
And then I wouldn't have to feel sad.
Oh.
about leaving them, and then, you know, we would come back. And so it just is interesting how, I don't know, just that I think it was just one of the parts of what you were just talking about, like you were having an experience, ego then says, oh, no, not that, and then has some idea of what you're supposed to do with that, and then you're just off to the races, and sort of the whatever experience you might have been having or a way to actually experience is gone.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, as you outline that, especially with something, as you started us with, it gets labeled as sad or difficult or hard, right? So saying goodbye is sad or difficult or hard. I love the process that you outlined, that there's a sense that that's true, right? Well, first of all, I think one of the things you said was that you've never really considered much about goodbyes, but when you looked, that there were a lot of conditioned opinions. There's a lot of information there from unknown sources, let's say, right?
Right, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And then with friends, noticing that from that sense that saying goodbye is sad or hard in some way or difficult, that the way around it would be to just have an argument with them beforehand and then be in that place of keeping them accountable for that or just projecting but blaming them in some sense, but not feeling that closeness with them anymore and then not feeling like that you need to say goodbye. It's no longer hard to say goodbye because you can just kind of walk out and not have any thoughts about it, right? If I'm on track with that.
Yeah.
And yet when we really start to look at the way you're looking at it, though, what's making the goodbye sad is that process, too, that you just outlined, which is so there is some sadness with it. There's some feeling, let's say, that comes with it. It gets labeled as sad, right? And then oops, just lost my train of thought. So the feeling gets labeled as sad. I thought it would come back with that.
And then there's like, well, what I said, in which you seem to be reflecting perfectly, is you know, then egocentric karmic says, no, not that. And so then there's it says, do this, you know,
that's
and then
it.
You've missed that.
Yeah.
Then you're
yeah.
out of that actual experience of sad and whatever might be next from life onto some avoidance behavior
yeah.
or whatever it is.
Avoidance. Yeah, yeah, and avoidance behavior for sure. Yeah, so again, conditioning takes us out of the stream of life in that way, and yet due to that label, you know, it's sad and it's hard, and so this is what we're going to do with it. And then if we just stay with it, stay with the feelings, like you're suggesting, then that difficulty or that, you know, there's no interpretation that gets added to that about it being hard or sad, but there's just body sensations, no meanings attached, and we find that we can hang out there with that, right? We can be with those sensations as they happen, and then they just pass through us like any, if it's a true emotion, right, it just moves on through us like they always do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's nothing in that way, there's nothing hard or difficult about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or even sad, right? It's just simply the body sensations arising, maxing out, and then dropping away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, and we can even, I mean, with this, it's like you can watch those conversations and everything else. At the same time, you can watch, like now that I've seen all of this, hopefully, you know, there's an idea that, oh, okay, when that information starts from egocentric karmic conditioning starts dropping in again, oh, this is hard, this is sad, I can recognize that as well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can put that right on the pile of conditioning always lies.
Yeah,
and so,
right.
That actually, when we're just with the body sensations, with no meanings attached, there's nothing hard about it. And that sadness, there's nothing difficult about that either. And that, as a matter of fact, that when we're with it in that way, it's there's a certain fullness to it that is, satisfying in some way. It's an acknowledgement that I've cared deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That the only reason that's there is because I've cared deeply. That's why when they go, I notice it. I'm going to miss them. And, yeah, conditioning wants us to miss that. Not to get to that place, to really see that there's a deep caring that's going on there, yeah.
Right. Oh, wow, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Vanessa. And we have time for one more call, Chris.
Okay,
get someone
great.
On here. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. Hi, Bob. Hi, Chris. It's Todd calling from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Hey, Todd. Welcome.
Chris. Thank you. Great to be here. I really appreciate the previous conversations. I hadn't seen it that clearly, but what I was seeing when you were having the previous conversation is that deep caring that conditioning has been using against me as the goodbye is like there's something wrong with it because there's the deep caring and there's a sense of loss or lack or deprivation with the goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the framing. I didn't see that conditioning was framing the goodbyes as being conditional. It was based on a loss of some nature.
So instead of looking at and seeing the deep caring, just allowing you to have that experienced.
Yes.
Then it's pointing to, well, something is missing here. And does it ever say what that is, Todd?
Oh, no. No, God, no. Well, maybe in some instances it does. That certainly the death of loved ones, the loss was, the framing was there's going to be that loss of contact, of intimacy, of connection with that person after they've died. Yet, the grief, I think, was masking. The conditional grief about that was masking the deep caring that was in that relationship.
Yeah, because as you say that, then that does, conditioning would point out what's not going to be there, right, as soon as this person is gone.
Yeah.
And yet the continuity is in that deep caring, that even no matter what happens to the other person, the deep caring just keeps right on going. And it's just so life-affirming.
Mm-hmm. So life-affirming. And I saw too. There was the conditional was like non-acceptance of what was actually occurring. I can't accept the loss because it's too painful, too devastating. But that's all conditional. It's all being framed by the identification with an ego that, like you said earlier, that clinging to or expecting things to be different.
Yeah, that something is happening to someone,
right?
And whether that's a actual part of ourselves or an ego I is always an interesting exploration to make, right?
Right.
Excuse me. That is there someone who's genuinely having that sadness, right? And we can guess that that's probably true. And is there an ego I, again, that's trying to keep us from that by kind of co-opting that story and being a victim to it as a way to keep that sadness just right on going into the future, to be able to have that to turn to torture us whenever it needs a go-to place?
Yeah, exactly. What I was seeing in that is that conditioned response holds it in place and keeps me from the moment, like you said, every moment is a hello or a goodbye or whatever. And then it just projects into the future this sense of deprivation and loss that keeps me from being present to exactly what is, which is, the moment is so expansive and bountiful, and you know, there's so much contained in that moment. But with ego projecting that loss and deprivation into the future, there's that ongoing suffering that I'm for some sense I'm without. There's incompleteness in the moment with that future projection.
Yeah. That again, something's missing in this moment, and like you say, that's projected out into the future. That something will be missed out there.
Right.
And so, trying to color not only your current experience, but looking to color all the moments that you have in some way. That's going to be that something missing, you know, something wrong, not enough, is going to be the default.
Yes.
No matter what happens, no matter what opportunities
right.
are available now,
right.
that conditioning wants to know that something wrong, not enough, is going to be what you're going to choose in the future.
Yeah, and it prevents, I think it prevents that grieving process to pass through with appreciation and gratitude for having all those experiences with those folks that may or may not presently be with me, but conditioning gets in the way of being able to fully appreciate and be grateful for those experiences I did have.
Yeah, to be able to keep the attention on appreciation and gratitude for the relationship that you did have, for the things that, the love that was there, as we said, the deep caring.
Yeah, the love and deep caring. Yeah. Oh, it was just a fascinating exercise to look at. And just one last thing, and the point of that is it's a great identification and disidentification exercise, because I got to see when I'm identified with ego how the goodbyes are framed, and then when I'm identified with life how different the goodbyes are experienced or had been experienced. And I just really got to see so much clearer how conditioning just has that ability to frame so much of our experience that is not true.
Yeah, because you can really see they're two different worlds, right?
Yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
essentially conditioning is dualistic, right? So everything conditioning doesn't like, it wants to say goodbye to, and everything it likes, it wants to pull in a little closer until it doesn't like it anymore, and then it wants to say goodbye to it, right? And then in moving to life, we really can get into that place, right? With practice, we can get into that place of just giving up that whole dualistic thinking routine, and gosh, it's all a part of life. And
Well, thank you so much.
Can be included. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Bob. Go happy. Take good care.
Go happy.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Todd. And Chris, this brings us to the end of the show.
All right, great.
And our assignment for today: what does goodbye mean to you, R.L.?
Uh-huh. Very good.
All right. Thank you, Chris. We'll see everyone tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.